All right, good people, welcome aboard. This is Bishop Wayne Malcolm, and you've called into the New Breed Conference call. This is Friday night, and Friday night is dedicated to business systems mastery, in which we are looking at the 12 pillars of prosperity, or the 12 key components in your masterful business system. And we've been going through these components each week. We're now going to look at the fourth component, and the fourth component is all about due diligence. Due diligence is necessary at several stages during a business's life, but certainly at the startup stage, it's very important that you tick off a checklist of important things that need to be in place in order for your business to set up correctly, ready to trade, in order for your business to be robust and to stand up to any scrutiny from any direction. It's very important that you start out with a checklist and that you're able to tick all of them off as you go along. Now, I've got 20 items here in my checklist, and I could just as easily have 30 or 40, but I want to keep it down to something that we can work with. And, of course, depending on the nature of the business, the type of business system that you create will depend on how much more due diligence will be necessary at the startup stage. But this is going to be a useful exercise, an important exercise, and I want to make it clear up front that that the time you spend ticking off these things will be returned to you 100 and maybe 1,000-fold as you go along, because the time it takes to rectify something that you didn't put in the place at the very beginning is usually much more time than it would have taken to simply do it at the onset. So you can consider this a business startup due diligence checklist, and we're going to go through them one at a time. I'll make a little comment on each one, but as we have 20 of them, I cannot go too far into any one of them. At ICANN Global Network, we are a faith-based school of ministry, and therefore we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for everyone on the line tonight. Thank you for this lesson, and thank you for the diamond members of ICANN Global Network and for this curriculum on business systems mastery. We pray, Lord, that you'll get glory in our lives and in our ventures. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So it's all about due diligence, business startup due diligence. The very first thing that you need in order to start well is a business plan, a business plan. Now, there are lots of apps available, software available, free software available that will help you complete a business plan. It's definitely not as difficult as it used to be years ago. Lots of templates exist, and you can determine how detailed you want to be or how not. Very basically, you will need some sort of executive summary at the very beginning that says, what is the gap that you've identified in the market? What is the solution that you intend to bring? How much is it going to cost you to bring that solution? And how much revenue can you make? How much how much money can you make bringing that offering to market? And that would be a projection, so it's based on guesswork. The projection should always be very conservative, and not based on your euphoria, but based on worst-case scenarios, or if you like, Murphy's Law. So your business plan can be as simple as that. We've identified this gap in the market. Here's the solution that we intend to bring. Here's how we're going to bring it. This is how much it's going to cost us to get started and to continue operating, and this is how much revenue we can make. And of course, revenue should be split into gross and net income. In other words, how much gross revenue, how much are we going to take in total? And then once all of the expenses are paid, how much is left over? That's the net revenue. You need to start off with a business plan, not because you're going to bring it to the bank and try to get investment necessarily, but business plans serve as useful train lines to keep your business on track. If you can be clear at the very beginning, what market you're serving with what the costs are, what the potential revenue is, then that is going to become a guide for you. It's a good stage at which you can set goals for the first year, the second, and the third year. And again, there are apps available that you can put on a smart device that provide templates and help you complete a business plan or help you to think through the issues. There's lots of free software available. There's no need to spend a lot of money on a business plan. Number two, you should choose a suitable legal structure for your company, a suitable legal structure. Now, in the United Kingdom, there are basically three types of legal structure. Now, there are more, but I'm going to just deal with the basics. The basics are that you could operate as self-employed. As self-employed, in which case you would be registered with your tax office as self-employed. You would complete the self-assessment form every year in order to pay your taxes as self under self-assessment and as self-employed. The second is a private limited company. This is the company that has LTD at the end, limited. What is limited is your liabilities, because that company is incorporated. Incorporated means that it now has an identity all by itself, an identity distinct from the owners or the operators of the business. So you own the business, you operate the business, but once it's incorporated, it is responsible for its own debts. It's responsible for its own health. It's responsible. So, if the company is sued, doesn't mean that you are personally sued. If the company can raise money, it can lease, it can borrow, it can obtain mortgages, all in its own name, separate to the owners and the directors. Now, the limited company offers limits your liability, so that if anything goes wrong with the company, you don't personally have to sell your house, your car, and everything else in order to pay the company's debts. The company's debts are the company's debts. The company's issues are the company's issues. And if the company sinks and goes down or is liquidated, it is the company's assets that are seized, not your personal assets. And so that offers a form of protection to the risk taker entrepreneur. You know, it's protection, because entrepreneurship is about taking risk. There is risk involved when you're investing time and money. And if you want to protect your personal self and life and family and assets from the company's assets and liabilities, then you should incorporate. Now, the third is a PLC, a public limited company, and these are much larger companies, and the public are usually able to buy shares in these companies, whereas with a private limited company, the shareholders are few, typically family and friends of the owner. Now, how you go about setting up these structures? Well, pretty simple. You get onto Google, and you type in company formations. And then a list of companies will come up that are willing to do all the paperwork for you and to incorporate your company, often within a matter of hours, and so that it appears on the register as a limited company, as incorporated. With the PLCs, the process is a little bit more intense, and with Self-employment, you simply register with your local tax office. You can find out those details online. But you should choose a suitable legal structure for your company. Now, when choosing, bear in mind that each company comes with its pluses and its minuses. Each structure comes with its pluses and its minuses. Obviously, you can limit your liabilities through certain company structures, certain legal structures. And then also there are tax implications that go along with each structure. So the self-employed person really does get the raw end of the stick because their tax liabilities are very high, whereas a company's tax liabilities, corporation tax, may sit at, you know, around 20%. As opposed to the 40 or 50% you may have to pay as self-employed. So it's important to take some advice, perhaps from an accountant, or to study around the subject so that you choose the best legal structure for your business. Limiting your liability is one factor to bear in mind. Tax efficiency is another factor to bear in mind. And a third factor to bear in mind is your exit strategy. How do you plan to exit the business in the future? Are you going to sell the business one day? Are you going to float the business and turn it from a limited company to a public company? Exit strategies are literally another session that we would have to do at an advanced level. But these are the things that you would bear in mind when choosing a suitable legal structure. All right, the third thing on our checklist is your company name, the name of your company. And particularly a lot of believers tend to try to find a biblical name for their company. And whereas this is admirable, it is absolutely not necessary. Also, people try to find a name for their company that says all in a name. So they end up with an extremely long name, which becomes difficult when you're when you're purchasing a domain or building a website or your email address. It's just long because you're trying to say it all in your company's name. Your company name can be very simple, and then in terms of explaining what the company does, that can be in your slogan or the strapline that you always put with your name. So if you think of some of the big companies in the world today, you'll find the names are very simple. The names are sometimes names that we don't even know what the meaning of the name is, and or people simply name it after themselves. I'm speaking to you now from an Apple device. Well, Apple, what does Apple mean? But it's the propaganda that's built around that brand that lets me know that Apple, serves the technology market, communications market, and these other markets. So don't obsess too much about the name. The name never makes the company. The company makes the name. I'm going to say that again. The name never makes the company. The company makes the name. Very often people are trying to find a name that will make this company great when it's actually a great company that makes your name great. All right, so that was number three. Number four, you have to actually go ahead and incorporate or register once you've chosen a suitable legal structure and you have a company name. Then you are ready to go ahead and incorporate or register. Now, and that's an important thing to do. It's not enough to have it in your head. You must now execute and go ahead and obtain a certificate of incorporation or a tax reference that says you are self-employed or that you own a company. If you go down the private limited company route, so as you have LTD at the end of your company name, they are going to ask you to name, as part of the formation, who the directors are, and they're going to ask you to name the company secretary. Now, I want to say something about the company secretary because this is number fifth on my list, the company secretary. This is not a general administrator. This is not someone who receives calls, responds to mail, does filing, and keeps a calendar and other general office work. The company secretary is the person responsible for the company's books or the company's records. So once you're a limited company, you are required to keep records, very specific sorts of records in terms of who the directors are, what resolutions have been passed. These records have to be kept meticulously. And the company secretary is the person that does this, which is why formation companies will often offer you a company secretary. They will offer as part of the package to keep your company's official records. And this will be this is an important service unless you know someone who is good with company records. If you don't, then go ahead and utilize the services that are offered to you by the formation company. Okay, next, if you have a sort of as part of that, if you have a private limited company, you will be required to have a registered office. Now, that registered office does not have to be your trading office. It doesn't have to be the place from whence you trade. It is the office, it is the address that is used by the government to send official paperwork and documentation to you. And so when you're forming a company, they'll often give you a registered office as well as a company secretary because you will need both. I don't advise that you use your home as the registered office for lots of reasons. Again, one of the reasons why you're limiting your liability is so that you can protect your personal assets against the company's liabilities. So you really don't want them knocking on your personal door to retrieve company debts. So you keep the registered office elsewhere. And again, you can use the formation company to make that happen. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, 6. You will need an ID, a corporate ID, or a logo for your company. Now, again, years ago, you had to hire a graphic designer who was then going to talk to you about color schemes and about the use of this logo and was going to basically show you why you need to spend several thousand pounds on the creation of this logo. Okay, absolutely unnecessary. You know, once you've chosen a company name, again, you can go online and you can look up logos, free logos, and you will find that there are lots of services that are ready to give you a very beautiful logo for free from their stock images. And they, you know, they will obviously tempt you to purchase other products and services from them, but you can get logos done pretty easily and pretty cheaply. Important that you have a logo, that you tick that box. All right, so 7 is your domain name. Once you have a company name, you want to immediately purchase the exact same domain name, because people are going to look for your company, and they're going to look for it by name. What you don't want them to do is to type in your company name and another company comes up. So it's very important that you purchase the domain name for your company. And in fact, when you're naming your company, before you even name it and register it, you should do a search online to see if that domain has already been taken. You should secure that domain name immediately, because that is a form, that's now a recognized form of copyright and protection of your intellectual property. Once you own the domain for your company's name, then it's very difficult for someone else to operate as if they were you. I would also make an added investment and get a few extensions to your domain name. So if it's .com, you might also want to pick up .net, .org, .co.uk, .us, wherever your area is. You want to pick up a few more, because even if you're not going to use them, it just means that someone else is not going to use your exact same company name. It's an important piece of due diligence at number seven. Number eight, your company's website. Now, I'm going to say that whether your business is an online business or an offline business, it is critical that you have a company website, because a company website is now considered due diligence, i.e., when people are considering doing business with you, they want to research you, they want to look you up, they want to know what you're about. What they're typically going to do is they're going to search online. If they cannot find you online, for many people, it means that you do not exist or that there's something dodgy or shady about your operation. So a website has become mandatory. It's now part of the due diligence. Always make sure that your website is second generation and dynamic. What do I mean by that? I mean that the first generation of websites were static, the exact same information. Whenever you log in, it's going to say the exact same thing. There is no updates. And it's difficult to update because it's all done in HTML codes. Well, today, absolutely anyone can build a classy looking and fully functional and dynamic website. And there are lots of services online that help you to build your own or that allow you to outsource that function for quite inexpensively. So do not be looking at spending the earth on your company website. It's simply a matter of due diligence. As the company grows, the website can grow with it and evolve. Again, you don't want to overpromise and underdeliver by creating the most glossy and elaborate website before you even have a structure or a system able to service that number of clients. So your company website is an important piece of due diligence. Okay, I think number nine, copyrights, patents, and trademarks. You have to protect your intellectual property if there is intellectual property involved. Once you choose a logo, you want that logo to become your registered trademark so no one else can use that logo legally. You want to copyright any intellectual property so that people cannot simply use it. You want to patent any systems that you create or any designs that you have designed or have had commissioned. You basically want to protect your intellectual property. Now, the good news there is that your Diamond members of ICANN Global can go into your Diamond level page and you can download documents on copyright, trademarks, and patenting. And there's a lot of information there on exactly what each thing means and exactly how you go about doing it. But doing this will save you so much in the long run. Okay, you're going to need next a company address. That's a trading address. It's not the registered office. It's a trading address because people want to write to you. They want to connect with you. They want to know that you actually exist. And even if you do business online and you use emailing software, it's going to ask for a physical address. You want a physical address. Now, whether you purchase that address as a virtual office or you use an address if you have a room or an office that you've hired, I recommend virtual business systems, as we discussed last week. So you can get a virtual office, and that becomes your trading office. You need a phone number that is a company phone number. Now, again, a lot of this comes with a virtual office service so that you can have a phone number and know that the phone will be answered between office hours. This can be purchased relatively inexpensively. Otherwise, your personal mobile becomes your business and you're getting, you're blurring the lines between your business and your life. It's very important that you work to live, but that you do not live to work. Very important that you work to live, but that you do not live to work. In other words, your business is supposed to give you more life. It's not supposed to take life away from you. And you can make that happen. You can live that dream by initially creating distinctions between your personal life and your professional life. And one of the ways in which you can do that is to simply make sure that you have a company address separate to your home and a company phone number separate to your personal number. Okay, next, you will need a bank account. You will need a bank account. And, of course, the bank is going to want all of this information before you even go to them. So they're going to want to see a business plan. They're going to want to make sure the company has been incorporated or that you're registered properly. They're going to want to see they'll be impressed to see that you have a domain, that you've copyrighted, patented, or trademarked important things, that you have an address for your office and a contact number for your office. At that point, you can open a business account so that, again, you're not running your company money through your personal account and creating nightmares for your accountant at the end of each year. So you want a business account with a high street bank. And then you will need, next on my list, is a merchant account. And this allows you to take payments online or to take payments on the move, to get a credit card machine or a virtual terminal that allows you to receive payments online. So that's going to be important. Lots of merchant, again, go to Google, look up merchant account, merchant services, and you will find that there are lots and lots and lots out there. Also, your bank, when you set up your business bank account, if you tell them that you want to be taking money online or through a credit card machine, again, they can put you in touch with their preferred providers of that service. Woo! Well, we're speeding ahead here. So here goes. Next one is bookkeeping software. Bookkeeping software. You want to start early on keeping records of all your payments and all your receipts. You want to start early on keeping all of your receipts. Best way to keep your receipts is to get 12 envelopes. Mark each envelope, I mean large envelopes, A4 envelopes, and write January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November on each envelope. And then simply take every receipt, if you're in January, every time you spend anything at all, get a receipt, put it inside January's envelope. In February, anything you spend anywhere at all, take the receipt, put it inside February's envelope. At the end of a year, you will save yourself lots of money in terms of what an accountant will do for you. Secondly, you want to make sure that you are putting information into some sort of a bookkeeping software. And again, there's just lots and lots of bookkeeping software apps that will do this for you, as well as software that you can put on a desktop or a laptop. Next, you want a CRM software. CRM software, that's customer relationship management, because the management of information will make or break your business. The management of information, you have to have up-to-the-minute information, financial information as well as customer information. Look up CRM solutions or CRM software in Google, and you will start to see software that will allow you to keep all of your contacts in proper places, allow you to be able to make notes against every person's name, allow you to look at your product funnel, allow you to look at your sales, allow you to to utilize a diary to list your tasks, any follow-up that someone is due, so that you get reminders coming through to you to say you need to call this person, or this person's made an inquiry, this person's made a complaint, this person's made an order. How do you see it all? You see it all through a software called CRM. CRM, Customer Relationship Management. Look that up and choose the simplest one one that you possibly can. All right, you're going to need an accountant eventually when you're making lots of money. You must check to see if any insurances are needed for the type of business that you do and make sure that you are fully insured. You may need a lawyer to help check over any legal agreements. Again, if you're going to go into business and then spend your time and spend your money on things, you can't do that based on trust that someone, you know, I got a friend who's going to do this and is going to do that. No, you want legal and binding agreements. You may want to use a lawyer for that, but if you don't want to, then you can find legal templates online for any kind of business relationship. There will be a template online for free that you can download and fill out and know that you have a legal and a binding agreement. Next is stationery. You will need letterheads, business cards, and comp slips. You can't do that without a logo. How much does it all cost? Next to nothing. There are companies throwing it at you right now, 25-pound sets, 50-pound sets, your letterheads, your business cards, your comp slips, all of your business stationery. Of course, it will have your company address, your company number, your company name, your company logo, your company slogan, and it's going to look very professional if you are delivering physical letters or physical receipts, physical invoices. And again, you can use these for your online invoicing and receipts as well. You will need, finally, finally, you're going to need processes, policies, and procedures. That's a process for everything. That's policies that protect the integrity of your company, and that's a procedure that allows someone else to do what you are currently doing. So as you initially start by doing everything, you want to start documenting what you do so it becomes a procedure, so that when you hire a virtual assistant, you can say, this is the procedure that I want you to follow, and here are the rules in terms of our company policy that you cannot violate, and this is the process by which all this is going to happen. Okay, that's been a whole lot, a mouthful in just over 30 minutes. Thank you for hanging on. I'm going to unmute the line, stop the recording, take any questions or comments that you have. So hold the line.